tell you what, that's good singing, wasn't it? Good choir singing this morning, a good song. The promises God has made. You know, I thought one time about just sweeping me out of spot and pitching a fit. What do you think? Just have a fit. I don't know if everybody here was feeling the same power of God that I feel. There'd be people up shouting, running floors, no doubt, you know. So maybe that's a good thing. That way we can concentrate on some scripture I want to bring to you this morning. And I do appreciate a good song service and everything we've sang. You know, that I lifted you out. I know the day the Lord saved me. I hope you've got a day. I hope you'd mark your time and say, this one, Lord, saved me and lifted me out. And then the pieces, life shattered this day and time. A lot of life shattered this day and time. But I want to share some scripture with you about the miracles of Christ. I'm telling you, Jesus did a lot of things. And we talk about the miracles that he performed and the things he did when he was on this earth. I want you to know we're going to cover the possibility that, you know, miracles are still taking place. And a lot of people say, well, I don't see any miracles. Maybe you're not in the right place to receive one. I believe you got to believe a miracle before you can receive one. You know, if you can't believe it, I don't know if God will do it or not. I really don't. I've tried to research it and look at it. I want to start in St. John chapter 6, and I'll start in verse 1. And we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about before the crucifixion. So he was here on earth, and he was a physical leader for the people, and he was guiding them in the right direction and telling them the right words, you know. And he was going to be the Savior of the earth. He already was, but he was going to be crucified, and then it would be in effect. St. John chapter 6 and verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. So I want to stop with two verses and notice this situation. It said they're following him because they had saw the miracles. You know, I think a lot of times, and I know a lot of people struggle and work toward church attendance and getting people to come out to the house of God that they might hear the word of God, that they might have a better life. And, you know, these things happen so many times. And I thought, you know, we just need a miracle sometimes in the church. We need one of those. And you talk about, it said they were following because they saw the miracle they saw on them, which was disease. We might need a healing at New Salem Baptist Church. We might need a healing of some disease or something going on. And I know God's able to do these things. You know, in Hebrews 13:8, it said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus hadn't changed. So this same Jesus that was doing those miracles and healing those diseased people on that day and time, he's still up in heaven doing that job. It hadn't changed. He hadn't changed. Sometimes, though, we're just not in position that we can receive the miracle. I believe you got to believe it before you can get it. And so let's look at the Word of God. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great multitude, a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these shall may eat? And he said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, there's a lot of problems come up in life, and God lets us make a decision of what we're going to do. You know, he asked Philip, he said, what are we going to do? Jesus already knew what he is going to do. Jesus already knows what he's going to do in your position, in your situation also. Sometimes he asks these questions that we might know what we're going to do. You know, when God asks a question, it's not about God knowing the answer. It's about you knowing the answer. You know, when you think about God knows all. But sometimes, you know, these questions that I ask, it's so you'll get the right answer. He said he saw a great company of people. And he said this to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread are not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, notice this, you know, Philip's got an answer. It's not the right one, but Philip's got an answer. Amen? Jesus already knew what he's going to do. He said 200 penny worth wouldn't be sufficient. They'd all take a little bit. And this is the common thought sometimes of man. I mean, Philip was a man. He wasn't God. He was a man. He thought, well, we're going to have to buy this. We're going to have to purchase this. I'm going to tell you, there's times in life you can't buy it. You can't purchase it, but God can supply it. Amen. When you start talking about peace and joy and things of life, you know, you can't buy those things, but God can supply it. And so here's Philip. He had an answer. It wasn't right, but at least he had an answer. He was there. I'm going to give him credit for showing up. Amen. In verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" Now they're still looking, physical eyes, you know, and they're saying, here's a lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I've thought about a lot of times about those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, I don't believe they went in and forcibly took those away from that little lad, that little boy. I don't think they would do that. But he offered what he had that he might help in the work of God. And so when we start talking about 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that's just what a small lad would eat during the day. But he was willing to give what he had that he might help the cause of Jesus Christ. When I think about what little bit can be made such a great number and a lot through the power of God, I wonder sometimes, you know, do we ever offer what we've got? There's no telling what God could do with what we've got. Maybe just a little bit, but he can multiply it. He's going to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they're going to be a miracle of God. He's going to feed everybody there. Not just a little bit. He's going to fill them up. Now, when we start talking about the God that we serve and how he can fill us up, not just a little bit, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. He said, but what are they among so many? In the hands of Jesus, it's a lot. You may not think you have much to give, but I'm going to tell you, in the hands of Jesus, no telling where it would go. No telling what it would do. We just need to be willing to give what we got. 5 loaves, 5 barley loaves, and 2 small fishes. Verse 10, Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Amen. As much as they would. He didn't short it. He didn't say, "You're limited." He didn't say, "I'm just going to give you a little bit." He said, "I'm going to give you all you need." That's the way Jesus still works in Christian lives today. He don't give you just a little bit. He don't limit what you can take. He'll give you all you need. And so these loaves and these fishes, they're feeding 5,000 men. I'm not counting women and children, because it gave the count 5,000 men. No telling how many they fed that day, but you talk about a miracle, because one lad was willing to give what he had. I thought about the great company that went out to see him. They went unprepared. Y'all ever thought about that side of it? They went unprepared. Now, we've got a small lad, and you might think, well, he's smarter than the rest of them. He took his lunch. He went to stay a while. Here's this great company of people. They went unprepared. They didn't take anything to sustain them, but God was going to supply. And I think this is a lesson that we can learn. Even at times you're not prepared or you're not ready for maybe what happens, God can supply the need in it. We get down to verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Gather up the fragments that be left, that nothing be lost. I thought about Jesus and his desire that nothing be lost, and gathering up the fragments that remain. You know, sure, they'd broke some pieces, and they were broken pieces laying around. And I thought about these fragments that he wanted gathered up. I believe there's lives today right here in this church that are broken in pieces. I believe God sent a message here that there's fragments of your life been shattered, been took apart. And Jesus, looking on that situation today, he said, "Gather it up and I'll put it back together." Get the broken pieces, get the fragments, gather it up that nothing be lost. I believe God could put the life together for somebody today that's been shattered, that's been broken over whatever it might be. I don't know the situation in life, but I know God sent this message here today, and He knew you were going to be here before you did. And if you've got this situation in your life where you've been broken, you've been shattered, God's not going to let that slip through His hands. He's going to gather it up, and He'll put it back together again. You want a full life? You want a whole life? Turn it over to the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Miracles still going on. This great company was in the right place to partake of this miracle. If they wasn't there, they didn't get to see it. You need to have yourself in place that you can receive a miracle. Where's that place? In God's will. Uh-oh. That puts a little stipulation on it, don't it? In God's will, that's where you need to be. You're going to receive a miracle, be in the will of God. You're going to receive a miracle, believe in a miracle. I think you've got to believe it. I want to look back over in Matthew chapter 14 for a few minutes. We're talking about miracles of Christ. We're talking about and reminding everybody He's still doing miracles today. It hadn't changed. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. This is a little bit after this miracle of feeding the 5,000. And you're going to find that they did take up of the fragments, and that remained 12 baskets full. In other words, they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Everybody ate to this full, and they had 12 baskets left over. That shows the abundance of God. That's showing what He can do in your situations. In verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, you know, He sent the disciples. They were following His instruction. But yet, when they separated themselves from Jesus, they got into a storm. You know, a lot of times we talk about storms, we talk about the thunder, the lightning, the rain, the hail, the things that come with it. But I think the hardest storms we go through are spiritual storms and storms of life. You know, where things are just, water get rough all around you, get to rocking your boat just a little bit. You know, you get to wondering. That's where these disciples found themselves. They found themselves tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, they're in the midst of a storm. They don't know if they're going to make it through or not. You know, they'd probably already had this thought in their minds that, well, we're going to be lost. And it said, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. For all you that's in a storm in life, all y'all that's got in rough weather, for everybody here that's being tossed by the waves, Jesus is on the way. Amen. Amen. You know, He came to them walking on the sea. Jesus is on the way to your situation. If you can receive Him, if you'll look for Him. It said, and when the disciples saw Him on the sea, they were troubled, saying it was a spirit, and they cried out. In other words, it brought fear, but they didn't understand. This is Jesus. This is not just some spirit or some other being, but this is the Lord Jesus. In verse 27, but straightway Jesus spoke unto them, said, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Now, this is something I want to preach long and strong right here this morning. At the word of Jesus, they found peace. At the word of Jesus, they found safety. At the word of Jesus, they put all their fears aside. And when I started reading this, I thought, God, you're going to have somebody in the church today that needs to hear that Jesus is on the way. And then you're going to have somebody here that's been in fear about some situation in your life, and Jesus is going to speak to you today and say, peace be unto you. Fear not. If I knew who it was for, I'd call your name, but I don't. But God does. God knows every heart. God knows every soul in this place, and He knew the message that was coming for you today. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, come.
And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know, I've thought a lot about this. Peter, you know, he did a lot of things, but he didn't get out of the ship. He had the faith to step out because Jesus said step out. Now, there's times in life we just got to have enough faith. When Jesus says step out, you got to get out. You don't have to. You can't be worried about sinking. You can't be worried about all these other things in life. When Jesus says step out, just step out. It said Peter, verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. In other words, the storm around him got his attention. He took his eye off of Jesus. I believe that. I believe he took his eye off of Jesus. He quit looking at the Master. He quit looking at the Savior. He saw the storm bigger than that. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is always bigger than the storm, and I don't care what it is in your life. They talk about the storms of this and the storm of that. Jesus is always bigger than the storm in your life. We've got a Savior that cares about us. And look, in verse 31 it said, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter started sinking because he sees the storm better or greater than he sees the power of God. And when he starts to sink, Jesus don't allow it. He just reaches his hand and gets him, pulls him right back up. Can you imagine the thought that Peter had? He said, I was sinking and the Lord saved me. I'm telling you, I was in the same position one day and I wasn't on the water. I was on the miry clay. And Jesus reached forth and saved me. And he'll do that for you too. Let's look at Romans chapter 10 just for a few minutes. I had a birthday. I'm getting pretty old, but I can still preach the Word of God. You know, maybe not as strong as I used to, but the Word's no less. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I don't want to stop today unless we cover the plan of salvation for everybody here. This covers everybody. Now, a lot of you have accepted it. I've heard your testimony. I've heard how you're saved by the grace of God. I want you to know, this is for everybody to know, and hopefully everybody here could say, I'm saved. That's what matters in the long run. Tomorrow don't really matter. It'll come and go. Next week, come and go, Lord willing. But salvation is eternal. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is that hard for anybody to understand? Anybody have a hard time understanding that? You know, a lot of times they want to put a plan of salvation out there that you can't live up to. I can't live up to. Nobody can live up to. But this is the Word of God, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You need to believe it, confess it. Pretty simple, isn't it? What the Scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, I've heard a lot of people through the years, maybe in a revival, say, well, you know, you don't have to come up. You don't have to acknowledge. You don't have to do nothing. But God said, if you believe it, you won't be ashamed. You know, so I wouldn't be ashamed to come up here to an altar. I wouldn't be ashamed to raise my hand in a church service and ask for the help of God. I wouldn't be ashamed to sit in my bench, and even if you couldn't get up here, there'll be people come pray with you. I'd like to see God's work done here today. The work of God is that all come to confession of Jesus, knowledge and truth of Jesus Christ. You know, that's what His will would be today. And as we look down through this, it said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're talking eternally saved. Eternally saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? You've heard about Jesus today. You can take that out of the equation. You've heard about Jesus today. Whether you want to admit it or not, God's delivered this sermon. I believe He spoke to your heart, and you've heard about Jesus. You've heard about the salvation of God through Him on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of sin. You've heard about these things. And so when you start thinking back to this time, you say, well, I heard about it. And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, as little and powerless and feeble as I am, He's allowed me to tell you. You've heard the Word of God. Now, I can't make you comply to it. I can't make you believe it. But God is dealing with you right now. I believe God has dealt with three groups of people here today. I believe He's dealt with some people that's in a storm. I believe He's dealt with some people that's had their life shattered. And I believe He's dealt with some people that's lost. That's the three things I think God's accomplished. Maybe more than that. I don't know them all. But God has done these things. So let's have a verse for song, Chris and Glenda. We're going to sing a verse for song. If God's dealt with your heart on any one of these things, and you want to just celebrate it, or you want to come up and tell somebody about it, or you want to come up and pray more about it, everybody's welcome. Come to the altar. But I want you to know, if you're lost, the greatest thing in life that you could do would be saved here today. That's been my prayer all week, that somebody be saved. We celebrated independence. I'm telling you, the true independence is when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and say, you want to be independent? That's the way it'll work.